gets a bad rap. We don't call Peter deny Peter. We don't call the disciples who slept while Jesus was praying in the garden the drowsy disciples. But Thomas is and always will be at least he's not alone. The Bible said Thomas was a twin. And if we're honest with ourselves, we might be able to admit sometimes we are Thomas's twin. I was Thomas's twin a little while ago on a flight from Nashville to Charlotte. I've been watching the weather all morning, watching a line of storms thundering across the southeast. I'm a nervous flyer anyway. I was telling a Bible study group once about my fear of flying, and someone in the group asked me, is there a particular part of the flight that bothers you the most? And I said, oh, just the part in the air. And when there's bad weather, it's even worse. And cleared up in Nashville, the storms were moving on to Charlotte. So when I boarded the plane, I asked the flight attendant, did Jesus come from Charlotte? Yes. How's the weather? Do you really want me to answer that? I had to think about that one. No. Okay, yes. She said, it's pretty rough. By the time I was buckled into my seat, anxiety was gripping me about as tightly as I was gripping the arm. Well, that was pretty good, really, until we hit the storm. And the plane began to shake, you know, up and down, left and right. And that's when I suddenly realized there is no foundation here. Nothing is holding us up. And I would love to believe that the engines didn't, at least God would have kept the flight in the air. But there are plenty of flights that we know God hasn't kept in the air, so why would God keep me in the air? And then I began to think, I must not really believe those things I preached over the years on so many Easter Sundays about the resurrection if I'm so afraid of passion. And it wasn't much of a leap in my mind to get from there to there is no God. When the foundations of our world shake, it's easy for our faith to shake as well. And it seems the foundations have been shaking lately, as they always have been. Sometimes, literally, March 22nd, mudslide in Washington. April 2nd, earthquake and tsunami off the coast of Chile. April 18th, avalanche on Everest. April 18th, earthquake in Mexico City. Today, the one-year anniversary of the collapse of a garment factory in Bangladesh, killing 11. Sometimes literally, but more often, metaphorically, stabbing at a high school, shootings at a Jewish community center, 150 civilians slaughtered in South Sudan, 20 years ago, the Rwandan genocide. Faith-shaking events with their ever. And of course, personally as well, that Lindbergh year seminary depression with them. A key relationship dissolved. A parent or a spouse or a dear friend dies suddenly. It's easy to become Thomas's twin. Even in a place like seminary, where we think we're supposed to be laying the foundations of a sure faith, the disciples were enthusiastic and excited. We have seen the Lord. Thomas has seen the Lord. His foundations have shaken. So unless I see, I will not. Maybe we who are Thomas's twin. Jesus can understand that. Why else would he make an encore appearance just for Thomas? The disciples are gathered again. This time, Thomas is with them. He wasn't with them a week earlier. They're living in the peace that Jesus had offered them. Thomas is still gripping the armrest of slavery. So Jesus appears again. Jesus says, peace again. Makes it clear he's here for Thomas. Says, Thomas, put your fingers in the scars in my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Do not doubt, but believe, just as he did for the disciples a week earlier, he does for Thomas today. Shows them scars, wounds. Now, it looks like Jesus is offering Thomas a sure foundation for his faith. Maybe. But I think he was also doing something else. Something for someone. In this act, he was also legitimizing, in a way, Thomas's doubt. You're right, Thomas. You're right. Sometimes faith shaking is happening. Yes, Thomas, you're right. Sometimes the mountains do tumble down. Thomas, you're right. Sometimes the earth does shake. Thomas, you're right. Sometimes tragedy strikes and strikes hard. Whatever else these scars in his hands and the wound in his side prove, they prove this is what. Faith-taking events happen, and Jesus himself wasn't spared the worst. We don't have sure foundations, not that I know. Certainties that are immune to doubt. We don't have that as a disciple. But here's what we do have. We have a God who died in the hours. We have a Savior who felt the earth and who was born, who experienced the absence of God, who tasted the darkness, and yet, the breath of death. And yet, that wasn't the end of it. Novelist Jesus in a heartbreaking memoir called Comfort about the years following the sudden death of his 5-year-old daughter. This is what the novel is for your daughter. So, the sudden death of her 5-year-old daughter from a rare, virulent strain of strep. Andrew had grown up a seeker, a searcher, but had become a churchgoer with her husband and had even settled into a kind of belief. But the tragic death of her daughter, it took all that away. She looked around for answers that no one could give her. She stopped believing in God. Foolishly, she was. Foolishly, I believed that clergy people might hold the answers I screamed to God for every night. I watched my husband's seemingly unshakable faith wobble together. Together, a unified force, we grow to talk to famous rabbis, priests, religious experts on loss. Dutifully, Lauren took notes, asked questions, listened. But I saw how their eyes drifted toward the clocks on their walls. And when an hour came, they assured us I was here and sent us on our miserable way. But since I read that, I was like, but she'd been in my story. But sometimes I imagine I would have taken the crucifix off my door just above my desk and not said a word and just handed her the crucifix so she could feel with her hands the heart of our faith. See, here is a son whose father saw him come. Here is a father whose son was wrenched from him by death. See, here are the nails that made the very scars Thomas got to touch. Yet that wasn't the end of it. And just because that wasn't the end of him, it doesn't have to be the end of us. Bad rap or not, Thomas is watching. Jesus said, you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's so flesh off, but it's part of that thing. Which is one of the reasons God has given us this mixed blessing we call church. We don't get to see Jesus the way Thomas did, but we can see each other as plain as day. And as David Bonhoeffer said, the Christ in our own hearts is weaker than the Christ in the Word of other Christians. And there are people in our lives who have learned to live, whose word has become Thomas's confession, my Lord and my God. People who don't, who no longer fall down with every foot. people who have learned to live in a faith without easy answers. And when our faith begins to shake, it's nice to be able to see that. To see people who don't fall down anymore, or when they do fall down, who know how to get up. People who keep believing, who keep going, who have learned to live and to walk with the Lord even when the ground is shaking. People who have learned how to say, my Lord and my God. People who can show us how to say, my Lord and my God. And who are patient enough to walk right above our head. When the plane was shaking on the way to the Nashville, and I noticed about six rows in front of me was a flight attendant off duty, but wearing her uniform. And the seat next to her was empty. And I thought to myself, I could just go up there and sit down next to her. And she could whisper in my ear, it's going to be okay. I've been through this. We're going to come out the other side. If she could just tell me what was going on, and if I could just see in her face that she wasn't scared, if there were just someone sitting next to me, even if you this, then I would be okay. Jesus is there. And it wasn't the end of him. Now I would get to the Spirit and one another and the sacrament, he sits next to me. Come and look in the face. Come and touch the wound he did to me. And even when we don't like to think about it, even when we go through that final process, what we call death, when the foundations of our life crumble completely, he's been through that too. And he sits next to us on that journey. And he says, you will get through this, even this. And you will one day finally be able to say with undoubting heart and unstammering tongue, my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand.